Welcome back to another episode of Arthritic Bourbon Bikepackers. It's winter time, so it's a perfect time to talk about rides, think about rides, plan rides. And today, we're going to talk about a little bit more about another South Dakota trip. We did an episode earlier about the RASDAQ, but today, what are we talking about?
We had a couple things, the Badlands specifically, and the Mickelson Trail. I think it's called the George Mickelson Trail.
So the Badlands of South Dakota, holy cow. If you listen to the last episode about the RASDAQ, commented about this, one of the things that's like crazy impressive is the Badlands in general. Mm-hmm. It feels like, it's like you're driving across South Dakota. It's these rolling hills, and all of a sudden you come to this area, and it looks like something out of a alien movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Badlands area, opens up. It's kind of like the Grand Canyon of the North or something. It's really weird. It's quite something to see. Everybody should make an opportunity to go up there. And, yeah, I mean, that was your first time, right?
It was, yeah. It looks like a glitch in the Matrix.
That's a great way to say it. I love that.
You know, the RASDAQ, they say we went by the Badlands, but I didn't see then what I saw this trip.
Gotcha.
Maybe caught a little bit of the edge of it, and I was probably worried about, you know, turning the pedals.
Right.
You know.
So what time of year was it that you went up there?
This was July of this past year.
Yeah, 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
For anyone listening historically to this podcast, it was July 2023.
Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of a spur of the moment. My oldest son was had some time. You know, he was kind of between college and employment and had some, you know, he had gone through an illness a few months prior, I guess, or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, you know, I've been wanting to go back there. Why don't you go with me? And he can be my support crew. He's like, sure, man. So we kind of did a little car camping, a little bit of just touristy stuff. And I took the bike, because I wanted to ride, specifically wanted to ride in the Badlands.
If you've never been up there, it's kind of interesting. I kind of gave you the heads up on this, but you'll be driving towards South Dakota and you'll start to see these little signs out off the side of the interstate, like over in a cow pasture or up next to a fence. And they'll say, Wall Drug. Stop in and see Wall Drug.
Yeah.
And it's all and a little bit about the Corn Palace, too. You'll see those Corn Palace signs. Yeah. But and I'm not joking, every 2 or 3 miles, there'll be another little small sign sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it'll say something about Wall Drug. And you're like, what the heck is Wall Drug? Yeah. How do you explain it?
It's almost like it's a touristy landmark that is a pharmacy. It is a drugstore in the town of Wall, South Dakota. I'm convinced it's called the Wall because it's a geographic formation. You can fall off the wall and fall into the Badlands, basically.
Yeah, it's right next to the Badlands.
Yeah.
It's basically kind of like a starting point to easily get to the Badlands is right there at Wall, South Dakota.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if this started as one little pharmacy.
Yeah.
And whoever owned it or bought it just kept buying things up in the town.
Yeah.
Until basically it's almost like the entire town is one interconnected store.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of.
It's like a little mall.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mall because they've cut these doorways between these different stores that you can kind of walk through, and it's like a maze.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still walk through them outside too, but it's just interesting. It's just filled with just touristy stuff.
Yeah.
And the famous thing is the 5 cent cup of coffee, right? Or is it a free coffee? I can't remember.
I can't remember. I think it's 5 cents. Maybe it's free coffee and something else is 5 cents. I can't remember.
There's like some little things like that are like, hey, come get a free coffee.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it's a 5 cent coffee or free coffee. Anyway, there's these little things, these little hooks they do to try to get you to come in. And there is indeed cheap or free coffee there that you can get. It's nothing special. It's just
I didn't do it because I was rubbernecking inside looking, you know, because I always go, I buy a magnet. Sometimes I buy a hat. And my son wanted a hat and T-shirt. So I mean, I'm a sucker for that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'll shop for the stuff and even a book. I'll buy books once in a while about the geology, whatever the heck. But Yeah, there's a section on like, you know, the schmott or whatever. And then there's the snacks. And then they had about everything there. It was lots a whole, like, whole block.
There's cafeterias there kind of style, you know, where you can get a burger. And it's kind of like going to Disney almost in some ways. Some of the stuff is definitely overpriced.
Yeah.
But then there's a few things that are like super cheap.
Yeah.
You can get an ice cream cone or something. Yeah. You know, it's just crazy stuff. Anyway, it's definitely something to see. If you're going to go up there, it's like the only thing there outside of the Badlands. I mean, as far as like having any kind of shops or anything, that's pretty much the spot.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the economic reason for the town still, I think.
Yeah.
There are a couple food trucks that were pretty good. I had breakfast at a couple food trucks while we were there. You know, we stayed in town one night, and then we stayed at a KOA, and then I would ride in. Like, I would get up and ride my bike into town, not into town, because I was pretty far away. I would ride up to the park and ride around to this little town called Interior, South Dakota.
Okay.
Tiny, tiny. It's almost basically, it exists for like the zip code.
Right. You know, it's a post office, basically.
Yeah. And there was a place called Cowboy Corner there that I went, and I would get coffee. I would get maybe a snack, T-shirt, that kind of stuff.
It is a national park.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, Badlands National Park.
Yeah. So if you have the annual National Park Pass, you'll get in with your park pass. Otherwise, you got to pay a little bit to get in, I think.
Yeah.
But either way, it's totally worth the money.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at it, I was looking at the map recently again. You know, you can't cycle off the road. You've got to stay on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they're real strict about that. They let people hike in designated areas. But if you're going to ride a bike, you've got to stay on the main roads. And there's Highway 240. It kind of runs up to Wall and kind of around and through the park. And then it starts to loop around. And then I think there's a Route 44 that's also there. I rode on both, and they both are going through all the formations.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so, to me, it's just kind of a bucket list thing, just to be riding quietly on my bike past these ridiculously crazy looking geologic formations and the colors. It was cool. I didn't experience a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
There are some gravel roads that are just, you know, real washboard type of things too, that you can go to connect the two paved roads. I did that a couple times. I went out and saw a really cool sunrise. Tried to get a time lapse, kind of screwed that up, you know.
They have a lot of prairie dogs there too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into that kind of thing, you'll see prairie dogs running around.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it really has just, it's kind of like, these formations is what it's all about. And the colors are cool, particularly if you're catching them in morning or sunset, you know, sunrise, sunset type stuff.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah. And the Park Service has marked and designated a couple places that are particularly beautiful at sunrise and sunset.
Yeah.
You try to catch those. It's really worthwhile. I wouldn't have thought this because, I mean, there's a river that's called the White River runs through there that gets its color from the rocks and stuff there. But I was impressed with the mosquitoes and flies out there. It was a different brand, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we're used to sort of the cornfield, rice field kind of, you know, Missouri River style mosquitoes here in our areas, but it's different up there. I don't know how to explain it, but it's the same way when you go to, you know, Minnesota or someplace like that. Man, there's some crazy mosquitoes and flies and stuff.
I'm convinced that they're angry because they've got a shorter season and they get a bug all the people they can in a shorter period of time.
That could be it. I don't know.
They come at you.
So the lesson is, depending on time of year, bring your bug spray.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
And your sunscreen, depending on the time.
And if you're going to eat outside, buckle up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to mention a couple things in particular. This KOA center there, it was called the White River KOA. It's one of the coolest ones I've been to. No more mosquitoes, but they were really organized. And we stayed in a little camper cabin there.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty fantastic. And they had a little grill that they'd open up. I wasn't around for lunch, but they would have breakfast and they would have dinner. And it was nice stuff. Like, it was, you know, real affordable. And I hadn't been to a KOA that did that, that had their own little like camp grill.
I can't say that I've ever stayed at a KOA. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I've been at a few now. Yeah. This was nice. And they had a pool. That pool was pretty crowded because it was a hot time of year.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty busy KOA.
What was the temperature like? Do you remember?
You know, in the mornings, it was a little chilly. I can't remember. It seems like it may have gotten to, you know, 60s or something. But I remember needing to peel layers. And I look at the pictures. I was sweaty and, you know, I was climbing hills and stuff, but I'm sure it was in the 80s.
This is the middle of summer, so that's what we would kind of expect. But it is a little cooler there.
Yep. I use my sunscreen.
Yeah.
Yep. I want to tip my hat to this, too, because my son said this is the best pizza he's ever had.
Really?
Yes.
In South Dakota.
Yep. It's called the Badlands Saloon and Grill. It was in Wall. Hmm. I'm going to tell you, the service wasn't legendary. The pizza was. Okay. They weren't speedy, but it was a steak mushroom mozzarella pizza with red onions and some kind of white sauce. And it was over the top.
Really sounds good.
And it's in a wood fire oven or whatever. So if you get out there, you probably want to order one of those.
That's the place to go then.
Prove me wrong.
All right. I like the sound of that.
Yeah. Yeah. One other thing too, before we kind of move on a little bit, is the Minuteman Missile National Historic Site is up there.
Really?
Yeah, and it was cool. It's really cool. We went to the little visitor center, and you probably want to walk through a little bit. You want to see the little free video. Of course, we didn't have our act together enough to get tickets and go on the sites, but it was the Minuteman missiles in the Cold War.
Wow.
And they were designed to be able to fire up and shoot within minutes. And so it's all mostly decommissioned and stuff now.
Right.
But it was cool. It's definitely worth going if you're at all into any kind of history, that period of time in the country.
That is cool.
Yeah. So.
So you were there. How long were you at the Badlands area?
We were there probably 4 days.
Okay.
Just kind of futzing around, and I'd ride each day a little bit. So it wasn't really a bikepacking trip. That section sure wasn't. It was kind of like a base camp and go explore.
You were day riding, basically.
Yeah. Almost can't. You know, you kind of need to do that if you're, like I said, access is limited to certain roads. So, yeah. You know.
That's cool. I don't think that's a bad way to get out and explore, though. You can still save a little money by camping, but then do day rides or whatever from campgrounds.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there were a couple of days that we had some pretty cool storm clouds moving through, and it did rain a little bit at one time. We drove around that day. One part of the national park is on reservation land, okay. And it's a little discontinuous with the rest of the park. So you've got to get out there. It is worth seeing for sure, but it's not the main part of the park, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it was cool. I mean, it's one of my favorite things I've seen, but I don't know if it's not like the Grand Canyon. You can't spend an entire week there. You could, but you know.
Yeah, a few days will usually cover it.
Probably, though, right? Yeah, probably, I mean, satisfy.
When I was out there, just coming through, it was a couple, like I think we spent a couple days and that was it. It's definitely some cool stuff out there to see though. And it's one of those areas like we talk about that just looks like it's out of place. Definitely a geologic marvel.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely worth seeing.
Yeah.
So you started out there, and then did you go over to the Mikkelsen? Or?
Yeah. We wrapped up there, and then we kind of drove out. We did go to see Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
The Crazy Horse. And then went to I think it was around the 12th is when I kind of started riding the Mikkelsen Trail.
So tell me about that trail, because I really don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, it's a rail trail. It was the Burlington train route. And so it's at some elevation. You know, it goes from Deadwood, which is like 4,500 or 4,700 feet, and it ends at Edgemont.
So this starts in Deadwood, South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Ends in?
Edgemont. I'm sorry. Edgemont, South Dakota. Okay. And it's about 3,400 feet.
Okay.
And really, you think about it, it's 109 miles long, and it's, you know, the net, each day you pretty much go through a net drop of, I don't know, almost 1,000 feet or something. But there's some climbing in between, too, okay. Especially day one. I was kind of surprised when I left town, because it also merges with some other local municipal and county trails there at Deadwood, it seems like. And I was climbing and running into some other cyclists that were just kind of hanging around the that town. But at first, I was thinking, if the whole trail's like this, I'm not going to be able to do this because I wasn't covering any ground. I went up some really steep climbs, and I wasn't rewarded with the downhills I thought I was going to get until later in the morning. So it was really weird. Maybe I started at the wrong place, but I started at the Deadwood Trailhead.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I'd made some crazy turns, and I didn't read the visitor's guide, you know?
Right. And we kind of get spoiled by when we think rail trails. We think like the Katy, you know, fairly flat. It's interesting to have climbs that are kind of sustained.
Yeah, and I can only imagine it was just in town. Something was weird about that particular area. And you got to pay. You know, you got to pay. It's about $4 a day, or I probably put a 20 in the envelope. It's the honor system. 15 bucks for the year. So, and I was stopped by a volunteer on the trail somewhere about in the middle and asked me if I had my pass. I was like, yeah, sure. You know, show it to him. So keep that in mind. There are people out there to check.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you go, you need to be prepared to pay for the fee.
Yeah. Yeah, you can probably get by without it because, you know, if you're locals live there and probably don't, maybe they have a pass, but,
like an annual
you know,
pass.
Because it goes through some private land.
Okay.
Lots of cattle land out there. So there are these gates throughout the trail that, you know, you do have to stop and go through them. You know, the kinds that are a little offset, and you got to open them.
Yeah.
For to keep, you know, people's cattle from getting on all over other landowners' places.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
And I looked, there are 15 trailheads.
What were their trailheads like by comparison to what we're used to seeing on the Katy?
Yeah, some were similar. Some were similar. You know, some facilities. I had to make kind of emergency restroom break one of them, and it was nice.
Yeah, yeah. Was there water at the trailheads?
Yeah, I had water at not all of them. Not all of them, because you had to plan a little bit. I'd take some with you.
Yeah. That's the same as the Katy, though. Mm-hmm. Some of them have water, some of them don't.
So, yeah. It was, I got to tell you, though, once you really get going, you realize why it's kind of, not distance-wise, but majesty. It's kind of the mother of all rail trails. Mm. The surface is nice, but the scenery is just unmatched. It's fantastic.
Is it a limestone trail, kind of like what we
have? I think so. It seemed like it was a little more...
Might not be the same
rock. A different color. It seems like there's a little bit more brown character to it.
Yeah.
I certainly had different colored dust on my tires, my shoes, and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so each day, though, you have some... I did in 3 days. That's probably average because 109 miles, you're getting probably 30-something miles a day most of the time.
So if there's a little bit of climbing involved here and there, that might make sense too.
And I didn't camp. I had my son kind of be my support crew.
Yeah.
You know, and so I, the first day I went from Deadwood to Mystic. And looks like I looked at my bike computer. That was 32, almost 33 miles.
Okay.
And looks like net climb that day, or total climb, was not net, but total was 17.58. My average speed was 9.7. Usually I'm a little faster, but that was a lot of climbing. On the downhills, I hit around 26 miles an hour. Average temperature was 80 the first day.
Okay.
And then I think, you know, my son picked me up, and we just stayed at a hotel somewhere. I think it may have been back at Deadwood. I can't really remember.
So this is a north south. Is it north south?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That north south trail. If you're not looking at a map like I wasn't until just now, I didn't realize it runs from north to south. Pretty much. I mean.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it zigzags a little bit, but again, as a rail trail, you know, they kind of tried to keep the incline reasonable, you know.
Yeah.
I had some, I think it's usually 6% or less is what they say.
So that is in that whole Custer Black Hills National Forest area.
Yeah.
Which is stunning.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I'm looking at some pictures and stuff online, and there's a ton of like train bridges and stuff like that.
And tunnels.
Lots of tunnels and things like that. It looks beautiful.
It's lovely. Yeah, it's definitely worth going. Even for people that aren't cyclists, you know, I did see a lot of folks that seemed to be on some short day rides, having rented an e-bike.
Yeah,
which is perfect for that. You know, I'm not really an e-bike guy, but if I'm with someone who's not a cyclist, I would recommend them do that, because you get to go so much further and really enjoy the scenery that you may not actually do.
I'm looking at this cool elevation
map
that looks like the smart thing to do is to start in Deadwood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it looks as though from this elevation map that there's some climbing. If you leave from Deadwood, you're going to climb, and then you kind of reach a peak about halfway between Deadwood and Rockford.
Mm-hmm.
Then it kind of goes down into Rockford, down into Mystic. Then you're back up a little bit, about halfway between Mystic and Hill City. Then you're down a little bit. Then you're back up on your way kind of between Hill City and Custer. Then you're downhill. But pretty much from Custer on south, pretty much downhill the rest of that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Not drastic, but a little bit.
Well, I'll tell you, the day two rode from Mystic to Custer. And I got an early start. And on that day, that's when you get, I forget exactly where it was, how far into the day, but you get a great view of the Crazy Horse Monument from the trail. And that's probably as good of a photo as I took of that, you know. Yeah. It was pretty fantastic. It was brief, though. I think there's enough tree cover and things that you got to be on the ball.
Yeah.
But that second day, I rode 30 miles, total of 1669 feet climbing. It was a slower day, and the temperature was a little lower. It's like 73. But when you get to Custer, I just think Custer is a cool town. I really liked it.
Interesting.
Their Chamber of Commerce, if you're looking for Mickelson Trail swag, you go to the Chamber of Commerce in Custer.
Okay.
Most places in town don't have much, but they had shirts and and the people there were very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
So that I would put a plug in for that.
That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah, that's a neat looking area.
Yeah.
I'd say one of the things you have to be aware of is that entire time is you're going to be in Black Hills National Forest, which if you're a person like me who likes to do like drone stuff, probably not technically allowed in the National Forest area. There might be exceptions, but it's probably not even worth bringing your drone.
Yeah, it may not be.
You got a lot of national parks and a lot of National Forest area, which sometimes is off limits for drone stuff these days. They're getting pretty particular about that. I don't blame them. About noise and distractions. They talk about it, you know, interfering with wildlife. And we could have a full conversation about whether or not I think that's really true. But, you know, it doesn't matter. The rules are the rules, and I always try to follow them. But if you're going up there, it's probably not worth bringing your drone. But, man, bring a camera or bring your cell phone. Take lots of photos. Now you make me want to go do it.
Dude, it's awesome. It really is. And day three, this is interesting, because I'll tell you, from Custer to Edgemont is really where you get the best reward of, that's when you're really paying the dividends of the downhill. Yeah. As you get into the southern part, you know, I only climbed a total of 521 feet that day, but that's where I had the most consistent drop. And so this is interesting because I'm kind of a numbers nerd.
Mm-hmm.
That day was a longer ride, 45 miles. But my average speed on day one was 9.7, day two was 8.8. Day three was 12.7.
Yeah, downhill's paying.
And I didn't have to pedal much.
Paying dividends.
Oh, it was great. It was so, so enjoyable. I can't say enough about it. It really is gorgeous.
That's going on the list of places to check out. The other thing that's interesting about it is you're basically, when you go up there to the start of that trail, you're really close to Sturgis.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So if you're into Harley Davidson stuff, that's the Mecca.
Yeah.
Right? Sturgis is where all the Harley riders go to once per year for the Sturgis Rally.
Yeah.
And so if you're into that kind of stuff, you're right next door to that too. You should check it out. You know, Sturgis is an interesting thing to see.
Even outside of that event, I mean, it's bikers everywhere.
Yeah, it's motorcycles.
Oh, yeah. And it's kind of cool. I mean, it's just a neat thing to kind of see that's part of the continuous culture and economy there, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Are there any camping? Is there any camping along that trail, or what are the options, or do you know?
You know, I didn't look into it much because I knew I wouldn't be.
Gotcha.
I sure did. You know, I wasn't in very good cycling shape, so I wasn't going to ride this with a bunch of my camping gear, so I just cheated.
No, that's fair. Yeah, I just didn't know if you saw anything along the way that reminded you of camping stuff.
I didn't, you know, I should have paid more attention to it. This was a little bit of a last minute, you know, trip.
Yeah. So. It looks like really the major towns are Rockford, Hill City, Custer, and Pringle. Is that?
You remember seeing Pringle? Yep. Yep.
I'm just looking at the map, but. And are those places have, are they big enough to have like food and stuff options in them? I don't know anything about the towns.
Yeah, some are. I'll tell you, certainly Custer. Custer's kind of the big one.
Yeah.
Some of these little, like Hill City is going to have some stuff. But the rest of that, I'm going to say between, between Hill City and going north to Mystic and, you know, Deadwood, there's not a bunch.
So take some food.
Take some water.
Is the theme here.
Yep. Pringle, I don't know if there's much there either. I don't think Pringle, you know, there's a little bit of something there, but there's not a ton. So you got to, you know, sort of plan a little bit for it. Fortunately, the distances aren't great. It's just there's some climbing depending which direction you're going, you know.
So that area historically is just kind of known for like logging and mining and things like that, right?
Yeah.
It's sort of what that area. I mean, I'm sure there's some cattle and things like that out there too, farming, but...
Yeah, but, you know, the other thing is it's the Black Hills are just sacred to the Native American population.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's and so, you know, we've got a buddy who I texted when I was out there. He had some cool things to say about it because about the significance and also the fact that, you know, they call it Black Hills, but there were times where I'm like, this seems like it's a little more than a hill. You know,
it's true.
Yeah.
It feels very mountainous. If you compare that to like stuff in the Appalachians, it's not that different, it seems like.
Yeah, I think it's similar. Yeah.
We call it the Appalachian Mountains, but some reason we call it the Black Hills. And they're not that different as far as geography.
Yeah.
Geography wise.
Yeah. and the rate of climb can be significant on those. So,
yeah,
it was cool. And then coming out of there, you get into the Buffalo Gap grasslands or something, and that's just breathtaking too in a different way. You know, when you're riding into Edgemont, the last part of that trail, it's just so scenic. And you're coming down around, and off to your left is where Edgemont is. And so you're just sort of seeing this sort of scenery open up. It's just really cool.
You'll see some bison out there, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I didn't see a ton. I saw some sheep, like bighorn sheep out there. It was cool. It's just got to go on people's list.
How far of a drive is that out there? Do you remember from mid-Missouri?
Ooh, I don't. Let me see if I...
Real quick. It's a pretty good haul, if I remember right. Because when I went through there, I was coming back the other way. We had been out to the Grand Tetons and then Yellowstone and then kind of came back through that way.
Yeah, it's 800 or 900 miles from mid-Missouri.
Yeah, so that's a pretty good haul. That's mm-hmm. that's a couple days drive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to go through Nebraska for us. It's usually the fastest route, I think.
But yep.
Anyway, it's a haul to get out there, but it's some of the most beautiful country. And there's several people besides you that I've talked to that – think that that's like just one of those areas they just love to visit and want to go back. It's like once they've been there, they really want to go back. If I remember right, too, there's some BLM style camping that you can do in that Badlands area.
Yeah,
I have to go back and look at it. But I saw a lot of people around the national park, and it might have been out just outside the national park, who were just kind of parked out there wild camping.
Well, there is this place called the Boondocking Area, which is funny. I don't know who really owns it or if it's part of the park, but there are no services. But there's this little sort of like dirt road.
Right.
It goes maybe mile two.
Yeah.
And it's kind of first come, first served. You'll see these giant RVs parked right on the edge.
Yes.
And then next to it, you see a dude camping on a bike. Or
yeah. Something. Yeah. That's what I remember, too.
Yeah. It's awesome. That's kind of on my list, too. I'd love to go stay there and just boondock, you know?
Yeah.
I don't have all the supplies. You know, I don't. I'd have to find out how I'm going to use the facilities out there. You know what I mean? I don't camp with an RV.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's phenomenal out there. Makes me want to go see North Dakota.
We've talked about that a little bit. That's definitely that would be cool to see too. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's some lakes up there worth seeing. Looks like.
So. Yeah, for sure. And you've always talked about this idea of taking a fishing pole.
Yep. I got to get on that bandwagon.
Man, I'd like to hear some stories from people who have done that. Like. We just don't have any experience. I mean, I've fished some, but I've never taken a fishing pole on my bike.
Yeah.
Oh, that might be interesting.
Some backpackers do, you know, do some trout fishing or whatever.
Right.
So maybe someone out there doing that on the bike.
Yeah, we'll have to check that out. If you're a listener and you've done some fishing on your bike, like cycle touring with a fishing pole, I'd love to hear some stories.
Yeah, and somehow we got to see a picture.
Yeah, leave us some feedback or, you know, tag me on Instagram.
So we can see what dinner looks like.
Right, tag me on Instagram with a photo or something. I mean, we've done a couple of weird little things where we, you know, pack some steak and ride out and camp with that. But that's not nearly the same as catching your dinner.
We'll call that credit card hunting.
Yeah, we're credit card hunters. Exactly. Kind of like credit card bike packing and camping and touring, which I'm not opposed to either. I don't criticize anybody, man. Anything that gets you out there, do it. But to be able to like fish and actually catch something and cook it for dinner, that'd be pretty cool, I have to admit. And it's something we've never done, never tried to catch our own dinner. I'd starve probably.
I probably would too. So. I'd probably be on the weight loss express.
I'd be better off taking my fish in a cooler maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. That was entertaining. You've really got me thinking about that as a destination. The Mickelson might have to be on the bucket list again.
Go on a short list.
Yeah, that would be because that's something you could do, in an extended weekend.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You'd have to hoof it up there driving wise, but you could make it happen. But looks beautiful in the photos I've seen. Did you take any good photos while you're out there?
I did. Yeah. I've got some good photos of that.
Cool.
I did a better job there than I did on the Bourbon Country Burn.
It's one of the things you would think, you know, doing lots of photo and video, and yet you still, it's amazing how you can suck at remembering to take photos or just do a poor job of documenting your trips. You know, I've tried, done well sometimes and terrible in others. And you know, I don't want to distract totally from the trip. The idea of getting out there is to get out there. But to be able to share it with people and or capture some memories so that you can, you know, just remember the trip and sort of memorialize it is really beneficial. It's one of the things I've enjoyed about being able to go back and watch videos and or look at photos or memories on Facebook or whatever. Is to see those things and go, oh, yeah, I remember this and I remember that and this is where we ate. And and sometimes it's a challenge to go, that was a cool place to eat, but where was it? Like, what was this place? I don't do a good job of always capturing what's the name of this joint.
Yeah.
I take a shot of the food.
Take a picture of the food. Maybe I'll start taking a picture of the menus. I'll do it too.
That's what I did a good job of in Kentucky.
Yeah.
I actually had video of the front of the menu that let me know the name of the place.
Yeah.
Or the front of the building, you know, or something like that. Anyway, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening. If you've made it this far in our ramblings, check out that Mickelson Trail, the Badlands. That area is just absolutely beautiful. It's a bit of a drive. There's not ready access to airports and things up in there. Small airports if you're going to fly. Yeah. It's probably one of those places that really is better off driven. Leave us some feedback. We can do episode feedback on Spotify. I've been promoting that because it lets you leave comments, very similar to YouTube. It's the only podcasting app that I've seen doing that. But we're available everywhere. Leave us a review. It really helps people find us. If you have any questions or feedback, we always appreciate it. We're always willing to try to do an episode on something. If you have some creative input, we always enjoy that. We will let you go, and we will see you again in the next episode.